Blog Talk Radio. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and his mercy is new every morning. And it is from everlasting to everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One. And I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all praise and all glory and worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give recognition and respect to my covering, my sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day at your leisure on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Spotify, Breaker, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, which used to be radio.com, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, all the things that we use when we get together on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study the Word of God. And we'll be right back with the Word of Prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It is such a wonderful time for us to get together and just set time aside in our day that God has given us to focus in on Him and His Word and to hear what He has to say in this moment, in this dispensation of time. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the activity of our limbs. We thank you for your breath in our lungs. We thank you for the gift of the day that you have given us on this day. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to wake up and see a new day, a day which we have never seen before. Lord, we do not take that for granted. We thank you for your many blessings, your provisions, your just everything that you have done for us. When we look back over our lives, you know, we just are in awe of your mercy, of your grace, of your loving kindness, of your love that you have shown us over the years, all the way up until this moment and moments to come, oh God. Lord, we recognize you as the author and finisher of our faith. You are the sustainer and giver and author of our lives. You orchestrate everything according to your will. You order our steps, O God. You tell us where to go and what to do. You give us who to talk to as long as we are sensitive to your voice. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst, a craving for you like never before, a want to seek your face, a want to read your word, a want to minister to others in need, O God. I want to be more like you every day, Lord Jesus. For it is all about you, Lord Jesus. Every day we wake up, everything is all about you, Lord Jesus. For you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords, and you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He who is, who was, and who is to come. And we honor you. For you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And we worship you and we give you honor. We honor your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence being in us, on us, around us, working through us, speaking to us. For you are the teacher. Lord, we ask that you hide us all behind the cross so that it is all of you and none of us on this day. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. And Lord, we want you to bless especially those who are participating in this broadcast, the listening audience who is in attendance even now, and even those who will yet listen to this broadcast. Lord, move on them by your Spirit. Give them supernatural manifestations of you, O God. Supernatural prayers being answered, O God. Supernatural answers to their prayers, Lord. Show yourself big and mighty and strong in their lives. And in the lives of their loved ones, as we stand in agreement in their prayer, with their prayers, O God. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful. He is so excellent. Every day we wake up, you know, it is such a newness of life that he has given unto us, that we should be celebrating every day. Amen. In our last study session, this past Tuesday, we were talking about having the heart of a child. And we were in James, we're continuing our study in James chapter 1, and we were in verses 9, 10, and 11. And we kind of touched on Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16 a little bit, with focusing on the 15th verse where Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, and all of us can follow along in our translations as we always do. But Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive and accept and welcome the kingdom of God like a little child does, positively shall not enter it at all." Now, we were discussing how this verse is very important. And looking at the importance that Jesus put on a child. And it all started when we were talking about James chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, "Let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian, called to the true riches and to be an heir of God." Well, if there is a brother in humble circumstances, the scripture is telling him to glory in his elevation. In other words, in those humble circumstances that you are in, glory in your promotion, glory in your advancement. You know, when we think of humble circumstances and we ask that question, humble circumstances is usually something of low social or political rank or something that is modest or a low estimate of importance. That's what humble usually is. James chapter 1, verse 9 says, let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation. Let him celebrate. Let him take great pride or pleasure in or exult in his elevation. His elevation as a Christian. His elevation, his promotion, his advancement, his upgrading, his increase, his growth. Elevate, let him glory in his elevation as a Christian, called to the true riches. Called to the true riches. Who are the true riches? Jesus the Christ. He's the true riches. And being an heir of God. But the part of that verse that got me thinking about the heart of a child is, let the brother in humble circumstances. And Jesus puts quite an important emphasis on children and how they are like the kingdom of God. And we left off in Philippians on Tuesday, Philippians chapter 4, and we were talking about how the heart that is content, that's what we were talking about, how a little child, you know, playing by themselves, they're content, they're happy. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And we got down to verse 12 in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. Now, if we look at this verse and we think about children, they experience both things. They experience these things. And the Lord wants us to really make sure that even as we are as adults, we do not forget the emphasis that he put on being as a child or having a childlike heart coming into the kingdom of heaven. If we look at Matthew chapter 9, or chapter 5, verse 9, it says, blessed, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, but in the King James Version, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Amplified says, blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about this, talks about the peace of God. In verse 7, you know, because we began in Philippians chapter 4, we started at the fourth verse, and we read all the way down to verse 13, which is the secret that Paul revealed for facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, or having sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. And the secret of facing every situation is he says, I have strength for all things in Christ, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me, and I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That is my ability to go forward. That is my ability to press on. That is my ability to handle any circumstance that comes my way, no matter what it is. And think of a child. They're resilient. A child is resilient. You know, if we go over to Matthew chapter 18 and look at verses 1 through 5, this is a very serious passage of Scripture. And we all need to study in our private time why Jesus put so much emphasis on children. Why did he use them as the example? In chapter 18, verse 1, it says, at that time, the disciples came up and asked Jesus, who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them. And he said, truly, I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. Now, that's a strong statement that Jesus made. It behooves us to pay attention to these verses of Scripture and maybe do a little bit more digging in our study time and have the Holy Spirit reveal some things to us. Jesus said in verse 4, he says, whoever will humble himself therefore and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives, verse 5, and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name, receives and accepts and welcomes me. That is so important. Jesus put that child that he put in the midst of the disciples, those adults, those grown-ups. He said, except you become like a child. What does Jesus mean by that? What did he mean by that? You know, it's so easy as an adult, we can lose our sparkle and become hardened and calloused and focused on, like what verse 10 says in James chapter 1, and the rich person ought to glory in being humbled by being shown his human frailty, because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. You know, a rich person doesn't have time to, or doesn't really focus on being like the child that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 18, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving, repenting, changing and turning about. You know, a rich person, think about a rich person. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be a rich person. It can be just a person pursuing money. That person has, you know, they're pursuing things. You know, those who are pursuing things. Well, I got to have the best car. Got to have the best house. Got to have the best clothes. Got to have the best purses. Got to have the best shoes. You know, I got to have, you know, I got to look like money. I got to act like money. I got to be like money. I got to breathe money. I got to, you know, their focus is keeping up with the Joneses. Their focus is all of these temporary things. You know, scripture tells us not to focus on things that are seen, but to focus on things that are unseen, which are eternal. Because the things that are seen are temporal. Scripture says heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said that. My word will never pass away. He said heaven and earth will pass away. So all of these things, these riches and things that we have and houses and things, yes, God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to, you know, enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But he doesn't want the blessings that he gives you to take over you and become an idol and move him out of the way and put itself in the place where God should be as being worshipped. So in James chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and the rich person ought to glory in being humbled by being shown his human frailty. Human frailty. Because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun comes up with a scorching heat and parches the grass. Its flower falls off and its beauty fades away. Even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuits. We can look at it this way. That childlike heart that rich person may have had before he really focused on pursuing riches, would die and wither in the midst of his pursuits while he's pursuing money, mammon, while he's pursuing to be better, while he gets so caught up in being better that he forgets the true riches that's talked about in James chapter 1, verse 9. True riches, to be an heir of God. The true riches, and to be an heir of God. For the sun comes up with a scorching heat and parches the grass. Its flower falls off and its beauty fades away. Even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuits. That childlike heart, we have to be very careful as adults not to lose what Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. We can forget easily. Because he said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the child. As adults, we can get so caught up in our ego and what we want to want everyone to see when they look at us, what we want to pursue or exude for everyone to see when they look at us. You know, scripture says, if you do what you do to be praised of men, you have your reward already. In other words, do what you do without recognition, without, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't let your, you know, just do it for recognition from God. Because our reward is to be from him. That's the reward that means the most. That's the reward that's going to outlast anything. Our reward from him. When we get there and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I myself am working always. I always keep in the forefront of my mind. And this is why I believe the Lord you know, he gave, this is part of the reason why he gave me the name called the Little One, because it constantly puts in the forefront of my mind and brings to remembrance Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. And it constantly reminds me of how important that is. Jesus said in verse 5 of Matthew 18, he said, "And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this," one little child like what? One little child who is trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving. One of his children. "Whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake," he said, "on behalf of me and in my name, receives and accepts and welcomes me." We welcome the Christ. So it behooves us to study that a little bit more and find out what the Holy Spirit really wants to talk to us about those passages of Scripture. We're going to move down to verse 12. It says, "Blessed," in James chapter 1, it says, "Blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one." This is why we say God is good. No matter what, God is good. This is why we say that, because this scripture right here, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God, for God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil." He's incapable of that. He can't do it. And he himself tempts no one. God is not a tempter. The tempter is Satan. So for us to say that God is tempting, we're calling God Satan. That's not, no, we don't want to do that. God does not tempt. He tempts no one. He may test, but he does not tempt. And those are two different things. We need to research that out too. And I'm making notes, because I want to go over some of these things in my private study time too, so that I can be able to, you know the difference between the two and understand it and have the Holy Spirit, you know, talk to me and give me more clarity. Because this is what we do in our study time. With the Word of God, we go into the Word, we talk to the Holy Spirit, we allow him to speak to us and give us more clarity on a subject. Verse 14, it says, "But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire." So that tells me that lust and passions, it's the flesh. And that's where Satan works, is in the flesh, the realm of the carnal. That's where tempting comes from. How does that work? Well, you see it, you want it, you go do it. Every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, lust, or passions. That means you have no self-control. You have not learned self-control. You have not allowed the Holy Spirit. We have not allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and manifest completely in us the fruit of the Spirit, which is a constant, continual journey daily. And he's the one who is the guard that is set at our lips. I think that's Psalm 141, verse 3. He is also the one who teaches us temperance, self-control. He's the one who tames the tongue. We as man can't do it. God has to do that. That's why he's the guard at our lips. He is the one that teaches us self-control. So he will give you what to do, when to do, how to do, and what not to do. And he will tell you when, and he will tell you when not. For that is his job. He is our helper. He is our paraclete. He is our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, our standby, our counselor, our teacher. He brings all things to our remembrance, whatsoever Jesus has taught us, his words, the word of God. He brings it to our remembrance. And then when he brings it to our remembrance, he says, okay, now implement it. Walk in it. This is what the word says. This is what you do. This is what Jesus said. This is what you do. You're constantly being transfigured. We're constantly being transfigured and transformed into the image of Jesus every day. Every day. Holy Spirit continues to teach us every day. Okay. We can talk sharply to someone. And the Holy Spirit says, that's not what Scripture says. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But Lord, there's no buts. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Lord, forgive me. And he begins to establish the boundaries and teach you temperance, self-control. And it is something that is not learned overnight, but it is continued to be learned. We are continuing to learn how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit daily in every single thing, which is why we are continually being transfigured into the image of Jesus the Christ every day, which is why it's so important for us to get into the Word of God, to study and renew our mind and transform it and transform our lives. Look back and say, okay, I have come a long way in this area. I used to be like this, but the Holy Spirit has brought me here to this place. You know, back then, Lord, wow, you know, the Lord will show you where you began. And then he'll say, do you see how I have been maturing you from glory to glory to glory? Do you see where you are now? And you still have a ways to go. But look at where you are now compared to where you were. And you can sit back and say, wow, Lord, that's not because of anything I did. That's all because of you. Because in and of myself, I can't do anything. Apart from you, I can do nothing. That's what you said in John 15. But verse 14 says, but every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, lust, or passions. Verse 15 says, then the evil desire, when it is conceived, so the evil desire has to be conceived, and it's usually conceived one of three ways, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life, because those are the three areas that the enemy operates in. You either see it, your flesh craves it, or you covet it. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. It says, but when then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So it isn't sin until the evil desire conceived or brought forth or the doing of it comes into manifestation. And then it says sin, when it is fully matured, the continual doing of it, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. The wages of sin are death, is death. But the gift of life, the gift of God, is eternal life and peace. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This is why God is good all the time. Verse 16, it says, do not be misled, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light. All God can do is good. If he were to do anything beyond good, he would not be God. If he were to do anything opposite of good, he would not be God. He cannot tempt. He cannot. Evil is not found in him. It is not found in him. Because the second part of verse 17 says, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. He is light. There is no darkness in him at all. God is good. God is life. God is light. In him there is no darkness. If there were darkness, he would not be God, a good God. And then he would have to go back on everything he's said, which would make him out to be a liar. And scripture says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning, as in an eclipse. He is forever light. He is forever life. He is forever that which is good, eternal. Verse 18, it says, and it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, Jesus the Christ, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. Now that right there should tell us how much he loves us so much. Because God loves and values and is jealous over his tithe. And the scripture says here, it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, Jesus the Christ, so that we should be a kind of first fruits That's a tithe. We should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself, personally handpicked. Personally handpicked and picked out by God himself. Sons, children of God, blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. And our time has gotten away from us. And we will have to pick up again in our next study session, which will be, next Tuesday. Yes, I believe it'll be next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment, this opportunity that you have given unto us to study your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us on today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing things to our remembrance and bringing things to the forefront of our mind that we need to study and learn more about and understand more, Father, as you bring us into all truth, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this time and this moment and this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for it, Lord. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his beautiful, most beautiful face shine before us. May the Lord continue to be gracious. Whew. Ever so gracious unto us. And may the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may the Lord continue to give us all, no matter what race, no matter what age, no matter what creed, no matter what country, his divine peace, himself, the fullness of him that filleth us all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you on this day. Thank you so much for joining us for our broadcast on today. It is truly a wonderful time when we can get together to study the Word of God. I am looking forward to our next study session. Amen. God bless you on this day. Enjoy the day. And until we meet again, be blessed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the strength of the Lord is your joy. Amen.